Blog Talk Radio.
Pleasant, good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon, one and all. We welcome you to our another edition of Virgin Island Small Business Showcase. This is a show where we take Virgin Island businesses and we showcase them so that you can know what's going on in the Virgin Islands. Today, we have two guests, both of them ladies, both of them coming back home to the Virgin Islands. And both of them bring a service that will help the Virgin Islands. I'm your host, AKNA Gibbs. I'll be chatting with them momentarily. I'd like to turn to Dr. Vincentia Paul Constantine and see who she is, Dr. Vincent or Dr. Paul.
Yes,
how are
good
you,
afternoon.
Ma'am?
I am doing well. How are you?
Good afternoon. Very well, thank you. Now, are you from St. Thomas or from St. Croix?
I was raised on St. Croix. Had I attended UVI on St. Thomas?
Oh, okay. All right. Very good. Very good. And let's go to your partner, doctor. You're the doctor. Jessica White. Jessica, good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon. I'm Jessica.
All right. Sure. Tell the audience a little bit about yourself, please.
I'm sorry?
Tell the audience a little bit about yourself, please.
I'm originally from St. Thomas, Virgin Islands, and I'm a product of education there in the Virgin Islands. I grew up there, and I'm glad to just be able to provide a service to give back to our community.
Fantastic. We're all doing the same thing. How about that? Okay. Well, Dr. So just say for short, Dr. Paul.
Yes.
Okay, great. Tell me now, you are a mental health professional. What directed you into the profession of mental health? How did you turn into that?
Well, I actually service areas of mental health and special education. So I'm a dual individual. I serve in both capacities. And I entered the mental health profession as pretty much in an effort to learn me and learn human behaviors and the situations I encountered as a child. So it was strictly about human behavior for me, which just catapulted into something else, branching into special education. I see those two entities pretty close and as less distant as the larger community would see. So this is why I've collaborated efforts in those two areas.
Sure, sure. Now, you're over in Atlanta, but you're coming back to St. Thomas and service the Virgin Islands. Is that correct?
That is correct. We are so excited to come back home and give to our community what we've been doing in the Atlanta area for over 15 years.
Wow. So now this is a silly question for me to ask you, but I think our audience would like to know why you're choosing to come back home.
I'll let Jessica go first. Go ahead, Jessica.
Okay.
Sure.
All right, Jessica, go ahead.
Sure. For me, it's a personal thing. I have a sibling who currently lives with mental health concerns in the Virgin Islands. I understand the limitations that they currently have. And so as a result, I would like to be able to give back and be able to service a community that I know that in such dire need right now.
Okay. Now you put together the two you ladies. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to add to what Jessica said and said that I have been so fortunate to be given the opportunity to work as a consultant in the Virgin Islands for a number of years and also some countries in the Caribbean. It's been one of my lifelong goals to not only meet the needs of, you know, the Georgia residents, but to just come back home and just give off these very same services to the people who are responsible in cultivating who I am today.
Sure. So the next question I ask you is, you put together this organization called CW Educational and Behavioral Center. Now, is it going to be functioning as an outpatient center, outpatient clinic?
Yes, it's an outpatient center. It's all-encompassing. It will service individuals with cognitive challenges, social challenges, including behavioral health. So this is not affiliated with any particular hospital. However, we envision ourselves to be almost like the hub in the Virgin Islands servicing individuals with unique needs. So that is our vision for CW.
Okay. CW. Short, huh? All right. Now, what about when it comes to diagnosis, what population or primary areas would you be targeted?
We will be targeting a wide range of individuals in terms of diagnoses. We'll be from the behavioral standpoint where we have those for depression, anxiety, antisocial behaviors, schizophrenics, along that particular spectrum, post-traumatic stress. We also have sexual violence, those who have experienced a lot of trauma. But in the same token, we want to be able to address those that have educational concerns as well, special education, autism, and along that autism spectrum.
You came at a good time. Thank you very much, Sophia. You came at a good time where the VA has been trying to look for local resources to help veterans who are suffering with PTSD. So perhaps you could connect with the VA and become a resource for them. I just threw that in.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Now, from your opinion, what do you think is the prevalence of mental health in the territory?
That's a very interesting question. When we think of prevalence, and I'm going to stick to special education for a second, prevalence in special education, it really pertains to cases we see and how equipped we are in handling such cases. Unfortunately, as we are still here in the States, it is quite difficult for us to kind of identify per se what exactly it is. And I don't think there is any particular set data on the prevalence, whether it's special education or mental health, simply because the resources are not as abundant as they are here. So when we refer to prevalence, we're thinking about in terms of all of the challenges we are having right now in our community, gang violence, sexual violence, schizophrenia. We're seeing a large population now occupying our streets and not having enough facilities to respond to the needs of the community. So it's difficult to kind of wrap our head around what we're going to encounter once we get there, but from the outside, we know already that this is going to take a collaboration, not just of CW, but a collaboration of existing individuals who are already on island doing this work. So we can meet a larger population of individuals who fall under our services.
Okay. So you're also going to be having some community discussions, talks, Could you tell our audience a little bit about that, please?
Sure. We're going to be having a few sessions both on St. Thomas and St. Croix where we're able to just highlight somewhat of mental illness, try to reduce what the stigma around mental illness is, to be able to educate individuals as it relates to special education and what they can do, and also most importantly to be able to get feedback from the community so they can tell us exactly what they are experiencing, and we'll be able to provide them resources and support around their needs.
And this is fantastic. Very important for us, and we've taken a lot of time to do this because we understand that every culture, every place, every island, every country, they have their own sets of needs. Even and like, let's just take the state of Georgia, even per county in Georgia, per city, you would have varying needs depending on the population. So we will not go back into the Virgin Islands believing that we know what's important to you or what's important to the residents there. So we want to get the authentic feedback. We want to have these conversations, and we're hoping that we can make the term mental illness as commonplace as possible, same as special education. So we're not going into our pockets, our secret areas, to have these conversations. That is where we eliminate the stigma by being able to have these open, authentic conversations so we can get down to the work that must be done.
Fantastic. That's a good approach. Excellent approach. Now, how would you support special education?
Very, very good question. Special education is at the center of my heart. I have a child with hearing impairment who's considered special needs, so this is really, really personal to me. And I must say special education would involve a variety of approaches, including training, certification, ongoing education, identification, and appropriate support, and adequate support. So for a child with one, there's 13 classifications in special education, main classifications. So for a child with one of the, I'm just going to use one, autistic, is not going to be serviced in the same area as a child with absolutely no characteristics of autism. So we need to ensure that we meet in the needs of these kids based on the presenting needs or the symptoms in special education. So we're hoping to come in and we're hoping to conduct a needs assessment of special ed the way it is right now in the Virgin Islands, and come in with our experts. We have a school psychologist on board. We have an educational psychologist on board. We have a special ed attorney on board. I'm coming in as a consultant.
Wow.
I work with both private and nonprofits. And private schools and public schools here in Georgia. We do curriculum modification. We do curriculum training. So we're coming in with a host of experts in the area to form and to support special education in the Virgin Islands.
So you're not coming with empty guns. You're coming with a full team, at least to get things started. And who knows, it may grow from there. Because
absolutely.
For instance, I know there's going to be there's a dire need for services, and definitely, if nothing else, the Department of Education will be clamoring at your door. Knock, knock, knock. Can you come help me? So wish you all the best. Okay. Well, my next question I want to ask you basically, what interventions or strategies are available for autism behavior or support? Where do we go with that?
Autism must first be diagnosed by a psychologist. They've been thoroughly trained in using the instruments to identify autism. A few years ago, we used to have the classification of Asperger's under the umbrella of autism. That no longer exists. So now we have mild autism, moderate to severe autism. And based on that particular diagnosis, then we identify interventions to support the child. So in terms of interventions, it would mean we we believe in early intervention services as early as possible. We now know in the literature that we can diagnose these children at 15, 18 months. If we get a child that young, it's amazing what we can do in terms of behavior modification, sensory issues, challenges, speech, or whatever the child may be presenting. So it's like anything else. Early intervention is key in reducing and or eliminating some of those unwanted behaviors. So there are just so many things we can do now to change the course for a child presenting as autistic.
Wow. 16 months. I'm blown away.
Oh, when 15 to 18 months. Yes. Yeah.
When I was in the Air Force, one of my jobs was basically to assist families with children with disabilities, and 99% of the time we could not find a facility or a resource around a military base for those poor families. And they had to travel for hours. It brought all kinds of stresses on them besides their regular job. Yeah. Well, I'm glad that you're bringing your expertise and your team here because, yes, it's needed. It is really needed. Okay. Now, what about diagnosis of mental illness itself? How would you go about handling that, or how is it handled, would be handled?
Mental health is handled in a similar fashion. Of course, early intervention is always best for us to be able to implement interventions and strategies and to be able to change their course or the trajectory of their diagnosis. So we do have various means we can be able to assess for mental illness. We do have assessments that we would be able to assess for depression, bipolar, anxiety, antisocial, PTSD, any type of trauma, schizophrenia, all of those diagnoses that we do have in the diagnostic statistical manual that we do have. We are able to utilize those things. Also, we're able to gauge based on observation, based on the symptoms that the clients present with and the prevalence, the frequency, the duration of these symptoms, we're able to diagnose such disorders.
Sure. So now when it comes down to the severely mentally ill or mental illness in general, how is it controlled? What approaches can be used?
Sure.
Well, we do so. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jessica.
There's various ways that we are able to deal with them. Now, I'm going to give a word that a lot of people don't necessarily like, especially in the Caribbean, called something called medication management. We are able to treat those chronically ill with medication.
Yes.
But also we're able to treat them with counseling and teaching them different strategies and skills of which they're able to diminish or reduce their symptoms that they experience on a daily basis. So, there's various ways that we are able to address it. But, you know, it comes in collaboration both sometimes with the chronically ill. It comes with medication management along with giving them life skills, teaching them skills to be able to reduce their symptoms.
Fantastic.
Jessica, that was excellent. Another thing we do that is so very important is for us not to isolate individuals who are chronically ill as a direct result of a mental illness.
Yes.
We know for sure that the more supported they are, the better off they are in terms of responding to whether it be counseling or medication or skill building, whatever it is. We need to ensure that we're supporting those who are mentally ill in our community.
I see.
That's a
now, off the top of my head, I just like to ask you a question. Where would your center be located?
That is in terms of the Virgin Islands, we will have a location on St. Thomas, and we will have a location on St. Croix as well. Okay. When we go home for our first stint in terms of our informational sessions, we will identify precisely where on St. Thomas and where on St. Croix. So we're still in negotiation in terms of precise location.
Sure. Taking into consideration the travel time that the patients would need to get to the center. Okay, that makes sense.
Yes, sure. Centralized locations.
Centralized, yeah, there you go. So what do you say for individuals who don't want to be diagnosed?
Usually when I have encountered, and I'm going to speak from personal reference here, so when I have encountered an individual who says, treat me but don't diagnose me, that's because they have the wrong definition of diagnosis. They've heard it from someone from the community as something that is taboo, something that is evil and vile. If I am to diagnose, then that means something is wrong with me. I'm crazy, because that's what we say. They're crazy, and they're, it's almost like a hands off. We don't associate. We don't deal with people who we label as crazy. The truth of the matter is, it's imperative that we diagnose. It's like going to the doctor, you're sick, and you're telling your physician, please don't conduct any blood test on me, just treat me. It's impossible for him to do so effectively if he doesn't know what the ailment is. Same as mental illness.
Exactly.
If we don't know what we're treating, we cannot treat it. So diagnosis is crucial in the treating process. Or the management process of mental illness.
Sure. When we come back, I'm going to ask you to talk a little bit about medication, but I want to reinforce the number. If anyone at this time of the day would like to call in before the show is over, our number is 845-277-9247. Again, that number is 845-277-9247. Give us a call if you have a question or a comment. And even at testimonial, you've been treated well and you're recovered. By all means, we'd love to hear from you. So let's go back now to the issue of patients or individuals who don't want. I said patient by habit. I should use the nomenclature of individuals to make it more normalized. Is that correct?
Can you repeat that, sir?
Sure, sure. I was about to ask a question. I was saying patient, and I caught myself and said, should I use the term individual to break through the barrier?
Individuals, I'm sorry, as opposed to, it's a bit sketchy for us. We did not hear the entire question.
Okay. I'm sorry you're having trouble with it. One more time. I just wanted to make the differentiation of the use of the term individual versus patient. I happen to use the word patient on habit, but is it better that I stick with the word individuals?
Yes. Individuals, clients, they're more of a healthy connotation.
Yes.
When we refer to as patients, it sends the message that someone is sick. Well, yes, it's a mental illness. However, we're all about well-being.
Yes.
So everything we do, we attach to a sense of well-being. So I like individuals and I like clients.
Okay, very good. So now the question is, what would you say to individuals who don't want to be on medication for the rest of their lives?
Well, what I would say to those individuals, it depends on their particular diagnosis. For example, if we're talking about an individual that has a chronic diagnosis, the course of management or treatment, should I say, is usually medication management along with skills and counseling in order to be able to reduce their symptoms. However, we do have some individuals who tend to want to use it when their symptoms are high and to get off of it when they feel a lot better. That's just like the doctor yes. just made mention of. You can't go to a doctor and say, well, I don't want a blood test. It's the same concept. If, in fact, you have high blood pressure, you're not going to say, I'm not going to take my medication every day. Because if you don't, then your blood pressure will be sky high. It's the same thing. With psychotropic medication, they are able to keep your body in a homeostasis level where you're able to function at optimum level, whereas you are able to function and deal with individuals, deal with life stressors so that they will not become overwhelmed. Now, I know there are some individuals who don't necessarily like to hear that, as I mentioned before, with the whole medication management piece. But it's sometimes crucial sure. to treatment to keep them in that that balanced level.
And as my assistant director just explained, very, very important, even for us to gather accurate information from an individual who is presenting with some erratic behaviors, we cannot begin the process of even assessing for a diagnosis unless we're able to really get that person's emotions and behaviors under control.
Definitely.
And at times, that's the only way we can do that is by medication. Now, is that the first thing we go to? Absolutely not. We believe in a holistic approach, especially with our targeted population of children and adolescents. I like to exhaust every single option available to me before we even consider medication. We only go to medication when it's absolutely necessary in the treatment of the disorder.
Sure. Now, we run out of time, believe it or not. But before we go any further, I'd like to ask you, is there any way that our audience can get a hold of you if they have a question or two?
Yes, they can reach us on Facebook. We have a Facebook page called CW Educational Behavioral Center. Our website is www.thecwcenter.com. All of our information in there, including our emails and phone numbers.
Fantastic. You can be reached on Facebook and on the website. Very good. Okay, to continue the question then, basically, either one of you, how would you eliminate the stigma of mental illness in the Virgin Islands?
Well, first and foremost, as it relates to mental illness, as the doctor said, we definitely want to make mental illness a common word. We want to de-stigmatize that particular term and to be able to educate individuals so that they are aware that it's not something that's taboo, that it's not something that they need to be ashamed or afraid of, but basically to be embraced and so that they know exactly what they're dealing with. We want to be able to have individuals reach out for treatment and maybe assistance with services ahead of time. So we want to educate the churches, we want to educate communities, hospitals, fire departments, all these stakeholders that encounter individuals yes. on a daily basis so that they too are aware of how we can reduce the stigma and increase awareness for mental illness.
Fantastic. Now we're down to our last minute. So can I ask each of you, in 20 seconds or less, give the closing thought.
We are excited and elated to bring this collaboration of services to the Virgin Islands. We are all about effecting
Great.
Change and affecting change. It's a collaboration of special education, early intervention services, as well as mental illness. And we're looking forward for the community's participation on the week of July 9th. Please come out to our informational sessions and share your concerns and what other services you would like to see us provide in the Virgin Islands. And we're looking to collaborate our efforts with organizations who are already on ground doing some of this work. And we thank you all for the opportunity.
Thank you.
Great.
Just want to let all you're welcome. We're just about gone. Okay, check our website for posters and information. Thank you, ladies. Thank you very much. We're out of time. So long for now. And we'll see you soon.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.